stay awake, for you do not know the day on which your Lord will come. That's what we'll talk about on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay right there. Here we go. Stay awake, be ready. You don't know when the Lord is coming. That's the message on today's program. I'm Gary Zimak. Welcome to the show. Great to have you here. I hope you will stay awake, and I'm going to do my best to keep you awake on the program today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to look at the daily mass readings for Thursday of the 21st week in ordinary time. The gospel is all about stay awake, be ready, be on your guard, a sense of urgency. We want to make sure that we don't get complacent when it comes to our spiritual life and our walk with the Lord. So we will talk about that on the program today. And then I'm going to briefly touch on what are known as the last things, sometimes called the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Yeah, it sounds like a really uplifting program, doesn't it? But you know me, I got to make sure that you're ready, because we never know. We don't know when the Lord is going to call us home. So therefore, we want to do our best to be ready. If you're ready, there's not going to be any problems, right? So that's why we will talk about this on the program today. I want to remind you that Total Consecration is coming soon, so stay awake for that. September the 4th, it kicks off on the program. If you haven't done so, just make sure you're on my email list or my news. It says sign up for Gary's newsletter or join Gary's newsletter. You can do that at followingthetruth.com on the right-hand side of any page. Submit your email address. Respond to the email once you get it, and that'll make sure you're on my email list. And I'll be able to send you out an email reminder. That's the plan, anyway, before we begin Total Consecration. Won't be too long. September the 4th is not very far away. I hope you're doing well. Now, I've got a special beverage du jour today. I'm going to take a sip of that. This is really tasty. I think I had this on one of the programs. When I was up in Boston, I picked up a bottle of this this beverage. It's Polar Orange Dry Sparkling Beverage. This is really good. It was really, I was excited about it. I did not think it was available in our area, but I found some at the supermarket yesterday when I was over in the Philly area taping my monthly radio show. I was able to pick up a 12-pack of this Polar Orange Dry beverage. It's kind of like a carbonated orange juice. Really, really good stuff. You ever have a chance to try it? And the beautiful thing is it contains 6% orange juice. So it's almost like a healthy soda. How's that? I know I'm stretching it, but that's my beverage du jour. Hope you got a good beverage here. I want to mention there, and you're ready to get started, I want to mention something. I got in the mail today the 2016 Master Catalog from Mystic Monk Coffee. Now, if you're a coffee fan, now it's still a little warm, I know, but I drink my coffee every day, but if you are a coffee fan and you would like to get some of the greatest coffee you have ever had, check out Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. They have a variety of different either ground or whole bean blends. I'm looking at some of these: espresso blend, cowboy blend, dark roast Brazil, Ethiopian, Colombian, breakfast blend, little monk blend, Vespers decaf, royal rum pecan, hazelnut, caramel. And then they have some seasonal blends as well. They have Thanksgiving blend that'll be available September through November, so that's going to be available soon. Pumpkin spice, same thing. Snickering Monk candy bar. That sounds good, doesn't it? It's like a Snickers bar. That's going to be available in October. And then in winter, they're going to have some really great blends as well. Christmas blend, Jingle Bell Java, one of my favorites, candy cane, French vanilla, and chocolate cherry. In addition to the bags of coffee in the 12-ounce size, you can also get what they call monk shots, which are compatible with K-Cup brewers. And then they have a version, a selection of teas called Mystica Tea. And a number of other different blends. I'm not a tea drinker, so I don't really know much about tea. If you want to check it out, and I recommend you do so, And when you do, when you purchase from Mystic Monk Coffee using the link on my website at followingthetruth.com, you help fund my work. So I'm grateful for your support there. So check it out today, Mystic Monk Coffee, available at followingthetruth.com. Okay, I talked about total consecration. I did the beverage du jour. I talked about Mystic Monk Coffee. Let's see, is there anything else I have? I think that's it for now. If you're in the Iowa area, I will be on Iowa Catholic Radio tomorrow morning on my monthly for my monthly appearance. My mouth is not working today. It's going to be an interesting show with John Leonetti. That's going to be at 8:45 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you happen to live in Iowa, that's going to be obviously 7:45 a.m. for you. But I hope you'll be able to listen. You can also listen online if you would like at Iowa Catholic Radio. So I like doing the segments with John, and I hope you'll be able to tune in if you would like. Okay, I'm going to take one more sip of my Mystic Monk coffee because we got my orange dry beverage, because we had a lot of things to cover today on the program. So why don't we get started? Let's say a prayer and then dig right into the readings, and then we'll talk about the four last things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for all the blessings that you have given to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to live among us, to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead, so that the gates of heaven could be opened. Father, we ask you to bless us, to bless those around us. We especially ask you to have mercy on those affected by the recent earthquake in Italy and the floods in Louisiana. We ask you to have mercy on anybody who may have perished. And we also ask you to ease the pain of anyone affected in any way by these recent events. Please help those who are sick. Please help those who are lonely. Please help anyone who is anxious. Please help those who are struggling with doubt or despair, or grieving the loss of a loved one. Please help those who are struggling with addiction, those who can't break free from a particular sin. Please help them, grant them the strength to be able to overcome the temptation. Please help anyone dealing with financial difficulties, anyone facing religious persecution. We ask you, Father, to come to the assistance of those who are homeless or homebound. Please accept our own personal needs, whatever they may be. And Father, I give you this show, and I ask you to speak through me today. Speak through me and open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. We ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please put an end to abortion. Please increase vocations. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her intercession, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thanks so much for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimak, and I've been doing this show on Blog Talk Radio for over 5 years now. Glad you could be a part of it. Remember, there's always a table here, a chair here for you. At my table, we talk about Jesus and his Catholic Church each night. We have a different theme every day. And beginning on September the 4th, we're going to put the regular format on hold and get ready for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, as I've done for the past 5 years. I'm doing it again this year. We begin on September the 4th. This year, the best of the best. You can read all about it at followingthetruth.com by clicking on the blog. And you don't need a book. You don't need to pay anything. All I'm going to ask you is to join me every day. The weekend programs will be for 15 minutes. The weekday programs, Monday through Friday, will be 30 minutes in length. We'll go for 33 days straight. And that does include the weekends. And I'm going to be using the best of the best preparation materials that I can find to make sure you're prepared. More information is on followingthetruth.com, so please refer to that for more about total consecration, what it is, how we're going to prepare, and what you stand to gain from it. All I can tell you is it's going to be the greatest move you'll ever make. And if you have questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, let's take a look at these mass readings today, Thursday of the 21st week in ordinary time. The first reading is a reading from the beginning of the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, right? We start at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you, who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always on your account, for the grace of God bestowed on you in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way, with all discourse and all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and by him you are called to fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the beginning of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. He's writing to the people of Corinth. A lot of funky stuff going on in Corinth at the time. It was not exactly a model city in terms of Christianity. There was a lot of immorality taking place there. But what I like in this reading is that Paul mentions, a lot of times that we're not aware of this, that he is an apostle and he was called to be an apostle by the will of God. It was really on the road to Damascus when he met Jesus. You can read about that in the Acts of the Apostles. When he met Jesus, that's when his life took a radical turn, and Paul received that call to become an apostle. He was not one of the original 12, but he is definitely an apostle. And it's important to recognize that. It's important to recognize his power. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he's talking about giving thanks to God for the grace of God bestowed on you, to his readers in Christ Jesus, that in him you were enriched in every way. And I think that he mentions also that they are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think in the same sense, we should all be pleased and very grateful for the fact that we have received the spiritual gifts necessary to be able to hear the Lord's words through Scripture and through sacred tradition and to respond to his words. We have received the Holy Spirit when we're baptized, and that gift is completed in the sacrament of confirmation. So we have the Holy Spirit living in us. The Holy Spirit will help us if we ask him. See, he's not going to force his way into your life. So I think that's something that we all need to remember, that the Holy Spirit will not force his way into our life, neither will Jesus, but he's willing to help us to understand the Lord's words, to walk with the Lord even when it's not easy, to deal with temptations, and to be able to follow the Lord each day, even if it involves stepping out of our comfort zone and doing something that might not be pleasant to us. So the Holy Spirit can help us. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to work in us and to fill us up so that we can think, speak, and act as Jesus would. right? Because that same spirit animated Jesus. It's an incredible gift. I mean, it's something that we should really be grateful for, and often we aren't. We don't appreciate the Holy Spirit as much. So say, thank you, Holy Spirit, today. Inspire me. Inspire all my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my decisions today. I am all yours. Do with me as you will. You do that, and great things are going to happen in your life. Psalm 145 is our responsorial psalm. I will praise your name forever, Lord. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Generation after generation praises your works and proclaims your might. They speak of the splendor of your glorious majesty and tell of your wondrous works. They discourse of the power of your terrible deeds and declare your greatness. They publish the fame of your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your justice. I will praise your name forever, Lord. Sometimes you and I get into a rut, don't we? We might be praying for something, and it just doesn't seem to be happening. We might be struggling through a very mundane job. We might be completely on the verge of despair. And it's easy to lose sight of God and the fact that he's almighty and that he loves you unconditionally. It's easy to lose sight of that. So what's really helpful sometimes is to read in sacred scripture what the Lord has done for his people in the past. And it gives you an idea of his power and his love. Because if all you do is look at your problems, and this is what we have a tendency to do when we're faced with problems, you're going to become depressed. You're going to become discouraged. You're going to become mad that God's not answering your prayers in the way that you like. But on the other hand, if you look at what he has done in the past, if you focused on the fact that he loves you, then it's going to be easier for you to accept whatever it is that happens in your life. Because if you know that he loves you, you're going to know that everything that happens to you is somehow an expression of that love. So therefore, it's important for us to be able to focus on the fact that he loves us, to be able to read scripture, to be able to spend time with him, praise him, thank him, tell him you love him. That's what you need to do in addition to just asking for what you need. And the more you do that, the more you will grow in your relationship with Almighty God, the Heavenly Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you could be talking to all three persons of the Trinity, and you should do that. It's a good thing. You want to get to know each person. And through Jesus, we are drawn into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can get to know him. And also, the Holy Spirit helps us to get to know Jesus. So everybody is helping in this relationship. And the Blessed Mother can also help you to get to know her Son better and to get to know the Holy Spirit better, because she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of cool when you look at it that way. Let's do this gospel. This is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 51. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish him severely and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." This is one of those tough messages, but As I always like to say, if you want to be in a personal relationship with Jesus, and you are, if you want to be in that personal relationship and you want it to be a good relationship, you need to be willing to hear what he says at all times. So he's not always going to just tell you that he loves you and to not be afraid. I mean, that would be a great message if that's all he ever had to say. But as someone who loves you, he has to challenge you. And he wants you to get to heaven, therefore, he's got to tell you what you need to do. There are things you need to do in order to get to heaven. You can't get there without his grace, but you can certainly mess it up for yourself. So the Lord's saying today, be ready. Don't assume you have another day. Be ready, because typically I'd say tomorrow, but I'll even say later today, you could die and be judged. You just don't know. And don't let that freak you out. I mean, come on, look, we're all grown-ups here. We know we're going to die one day. Sometimes I think we get so bent out of shape when we hear talk of death we just don't want to talk about. Well, you're going to die. Who are you trying to kid? Let's accept it, and let's enjoy today, because right now you are still alive. If you're hearing me, you're still alive. That's a good thing. Unless you're really sick of me, that may not be a good thing, but you are still alive right now. God wants you here. Focus on the present moment. He's got a job for you to do. What is that job? Well, the job is to stay close to him and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in all that you say and do. Because one day we are going to be judged, and we need to focus on that. We need to remember that, because if you don't recognize that, then you're going to put off doing what you need to do. I think that human nature being what it is, we tend to like to do what we like to do. And if it's unpleasant, we stay away from it. So let's talk a little bit about the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. I'm just going to read some comments from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Nothing too deep, but I just want to talk about this so we understand what's going on with death. For those who die in Christ's grace, death is a participation in the death of the Lord, so that they can also share in his resurrection. That's paragraph 1006 of the Catechism. Death is the end of earthly life. Our lives are measured by time, in the course of which we change, grow old, and as with all living beings on earth, death seems like the normal end of life. That aspect of death lends urgency to our lives. Remembering our mortality helps us realize that we have only a limited time in which to bring our lives to fulfillment. And that's what we really need to understand. What are we waiting for? We've got things to do. Death is a consequence of sin. The Church's magisterium, and as authentic interpreter of the affirmations of Scripture and tradition, teaches that death entered the world on account of men's sin. Even though man's nature is mortal, God had not destined him to die. So death came about with the first sin, and that's why we have to die. But, and this is a very big but, you know, that sounds a little depressing, doesn't it? Oh yeah, well, Adam and Eve messed up, so now I have to die. Boo-hoo. But there's some good news. Paragraph 1009, death is transformed by Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, also himself suffered death, the death that is part of the human condition. Yet, despite his anguish as he faced death, he accepted it as an act of complete and free submission to his Father's will. The obedience of Jesus has transformed the curse of death into a blessing. Isn't that amazing? Death has been transformed by Christ into a blessing. Now, what is essentially new about Christian death is this: through baptism, the Christian has already died with Christ sacramentally in order to live a new life. If we die in Christ's grace, physical death completes this dying with Christ, and so completes our incorporation into him in his redeeming act. And I know this sounds a little bit funky, so we really need to think about this a little bit. And again, I promise we wouldn't get too deep. When we're baptized, we essentially, I mean, this really is a little tricky, but we enter into the death of Christ. We die with Christ sacramentally in order to live a new life. This new life is an eternal life, and it extends beyond our time on earth. That is such a hard concept for us to wrap our brains around, isn't it? That's such a hard concept, but it's crucial to understand that. And that's going to help us to deal not only with our own death, but with the death of those around us. We know that this world is temporary. You've got to keep reminding yourself of that. You've got to read things like this, because otherwise you're going to lose sight of it. Most people forget that. Most people don't think about that. The Catechism continues, in death, God calls man to himself. Death is the end of man's earthly pilgrimage, of the time of grace and mercy, which God offers him so as to work out his earthly life in keeping with the divine plan, and to decide his ultimate destiny. When the single course of our earthly life is completed, listen, we shall not return to other earthly lives. It is appointed for men to die once. There is no reincarnation after death. Sometimes, even some Catholics believe in this idea of reincarnation. Well, it's crystal clear here, as Catholics, we do not believe in that. We believe we die in this earth once. We don't come back to this life. We move on to the next life. The Church encourages us to prepare ourselves for the hour of our death. How do you do that? By making sure you are good with God today. You're in good graces today. You're in his good graces. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You go to confession when you messed up. Let me talk about the judgment now, because briefly, we are going to be judged when we die. There's no getting around it, so we might as well prepare for it. Death puts an end to human life as the time open to either accepting or rejecting the divine grace manifested in Christ. So this life is the chance for us to say either, yes, Lord, I accept the grace that you're giving me, or I'm rejecting it. How do we accept? We accept the grace by putting into action the good things that the Lord wants us to do. We reject it when we say, you know what, I'm not going to do the right thing, I'm going to sin. You have the grace to do what you need to get to heaven. Whether you accept it or not is up to you. Every man, this is paragraph 1022 of the Catechism, every man receives his eternal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death, in a particular judgment that refers his life to Christ, either entrance into the blessedness of heaven through a purification, or immediate and everlasting damnation. Let's talk about this. When you're judged, you either go to heaven, and that might be immediately, or you might have to be purified in purgatory. You either go there to heaven or to hell for all eternity, eternal damnation. You want to do whatever you can to avoid that. I want to make sure you do whatever you can to avoid that. How do you avoid it? If you commit a mortal sin, you must go to confession. That sin will be wiped away, provided you're sorry and you pledge not to do it again. You have a great vehicle of God's mercy available in the sacrament of confession. You don't do that, and depending on what's going on in your head, and really only you and God know what's going on in your mind with these sins, you die in the state of mortal sin. The Church teaches objectively that you will go to hell. One mortal sin. It's that serious. Why take a chance? Make sure you go to confession. You will be judged as soon as you die. You're going to go to heaven or hell. Heaven is eternal happiness forever. What choice do we really have? Why would we not want to go there, right? So do me a favor. Take it seriously. Get that sense of urgency going in your life. Take the words of Jesus seriously today. Do your best to make sure that if you die today, you're going to make it to heaven. All right? Don't get freaked out. Just get busy, okay? God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow. I hope you can join me. Until then, have a wonderful night. God bless you.